Well, tonight we begin this new section, and we'll read again verse 153 and verse 154. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Dear congregation, in the afflictions we face, let us make our way unto the Lord. When in perplexity or in great sorrow, turn unto him and pray for help. We go there so often by way of faith, knowing that the Lord is able to bring us near. In Psalm 61, verse 2, we read, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And you notice there the faith of the psalmist. He believed that the Lord was able to draw him near to himself. Now, at times one may feel surrounded by their enemies, or lonely as they battle through the rough seas of affliction. However, take comfort tonight, we have a friend in the court of heaven. Our advocate, the one who makes intercession for us, even at this very moment. We may be opposed by many, but we have one in heaven now, who's remembering us and making intercession. Well, let's come directly to these two verses tonight. And I'd like us to consider, first of all, the affliction, and then secondly, in more detail, the petition. And as we consider the petition, first of all, consider. Secondly, plead. Thirdly, quicken. And then finally, deliver. So first of all, tonight, the affliction. And then we'll consider, secondly, the petition. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Now, as we've gone through the psalmists, we have seen so often, and we have learned that the psalmist was an afflicted man. Just go back to verse 28 of this psalm. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. He knew that heaviness within as he waded through the waters of affliction. My soul melteth with heaviness. He felt the weakness. He was so burdened. Heaviness had so weighed his heart down. He felt it not only mentally and spiritually, but also he would feel it physically. And that's how it can be. Not only do we feel it mentally, it can so affect our mind, but also spiritually, we can be cast down, as we see in Psalm 42 and verse 43. But then it can affect us physically. One can feel the distress around their chest or over their eyes. There's a pain and a heaviness of the mind, and it affects one physically above the eyes. The heaviness. He was afflicted with this heaviness. But then turn to verse 50 of the psalm. Here's further evidence. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy words have quickened me. How often he spake of his situation in this psalm. He spake of his affliction, as we see here in our text tonight. Consider mine affliction. And as we have gone through this psalm, we're reminded that many are the afflictions of the righteous. It's not just one or two, is it? No, we've learned by experience that many are the afflictions of the righteous. It's not all joy and plain sailing. The psalmist, like us, faced much sorrow as he walked down the pathway of affliction. He faced affliction, and he felt it within his heart. There were times when he was so weary. His spirit within was drooping, and he knew what it was to be cast down. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Cast down, and knowing this commotion within, at times we can be cast down. We can know that inward commotion, like those disciples in the upper room. The situation before us, the personal trial, can bring us to such a point when we are cast down. We look out and we consider the church and the attacks made on the church today, and the fewness we can be cast down. The psalmist knew the promises of God, and as we will see in a moment, his faith was focused, but still he knew what it was to be cast down and weary. He knew the Lord was for him, yet there were times when he was troubled. Had God forgotten him? Remember godly Asaph in Psalm 77. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favourable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Have God forgotten to be gracious? Have he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah, the psalmist is reflecting, and these questions are going around his mind, and he considers them, and that's how it can be. One can be brought to this point in some affliction, and we begin to question. The Lord's people suffer many afflictions. Now all suffer in this world. What did Job say in Job 14, verse 1? Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. You consider what so many have faced in this pandemic. It began nearly 2 years ago, and here we are, facing further difficulties. And many are suffering, many have died, many are in hospital, many are suffering mentally at this time. And perhaps that is affecting more now than at the beginning. Many are suffering mentally. We recognize this, that the ungodly suffer affliction. And we who love the Lord, we seek to come alongside those we know and be that example to them and point them to Christ. If you're without Christ, you suffer affliction. Oh, we point you to Christ, for he's the comforter. He's the one that is able to help you through. Many suffer in this world. However, for the believer, there is those added afflictions. And we think particularly of those added afflictions here in this psalm and the suffering he faced because of them. He knew heaviness. He was weary because of those afflictions he was facing for the sake of Christ. He was persecuted. We've seen this again and again. His enemies had come near. We saw on an earlier occasion that he had comfort, that the Lord was nearer. Thou art near. And he was so thankful because his enemies had come near. He was persecuted. There are hardships. There are the attacks of the devil. Do not underestimate the attacks of the devil. The fiery darts can come. Maybe he leaves us for a little season, and then suddenly a dart comes. And then another temptation. And we see so many coming, and it affects us. The whispers in the air. All the afflictions we face. You seek to live a godly life. You seek to be perfecting holiness. The devil won't like it, and he will come to trouble you. We know sorrow in our heart as we see troubles in the church, and we mourn over Jerusalem. Psalm 137, verse 1, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. They sat down and they wept. Yes, they felt their sin, the sin that they had committed back there in Zion, in Jerusalem. But all they particularly wept at the state of the city, what had happened. And at times we're found weeping, aren't we? We know what it is to suffer affliction. And then we look out and consider the affliction that is facing the church, and we mourn. We're reminded that this world is not home. We're passing through, and we're passing through the valleys on the way to the mountaintop. There will be difficulties. There will be sorrows. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief here upon earth in his humiliation. And as we follow him, we should not be surprised if we know a measure of sorrow and a measure of grief. It can be so hard for the Lord's people in this country, in their own personal lives. And one can question, like Asaph, what is happening. But notice here what the psalmist said. Consider mine affliction. Mine affliction. He was mindful of what he was facing at that present time. Just consider what you're facing at this time. Is there something troubling you at this very hour? You think of the situation around you. Certain things have happened in the day, maybe in the workplace or in the home. Mine affliction. We can consider it before our eyes, can we not? The thing that we struggle with. And as we consider affliction, we need to recognize firstly God's providence, even in the most trying affliction. You remember Joseph? These familiar words, what did he say unto his brothers? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. There's Joseph. He had learned much in the school of grace. And he had learned much of the providence of God. And he could testify of it to his brothers after all those years. He recognized the hand of God. It was so hard for him. Sold into Egypt. Falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Left in prison. So long. So many trials. Yet he recognized the providence of God. And it's important we do so. But then secondly, consider that affliction can be for our good. Affliction can be for our good. God meant it unto good. That's amazing, isn't it? He considers what his brothers did to him. But God meant it unto good. Sanctified afflictions. Let me illustrate, one may suffer bodily or mentally, but God can use it for their spiritual good. And how many of the Lord's people have been blessed in such a bodily trial, or even when they face mental struggles. They've known the darkness, the perplexity, the anxiety, but the Lord's come alongside and they've been helped to lean on him a little more. God can use afflictions for our good. Psalm 119, verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You see there the psalmist, he saw the good. There in that place of affliction, he had learnt God's word a little more. And have we not learned a little more of the word in affliction? There are times when the coldness of men has been felt, but then the word of God warms the soul. There's been times when we've been hurt and have cried, but the Lord has come in a spiritual way and put his arms around us and spoken to our hearts through the word, and we've been helped and edified. Good can come from affliction. There is profit, and we've been blessed at times through the word, haven't we? You see, the Lord is the counselor. He is so skilled. He brings the word at the right time. And in affliction, there's been times when you've come to the word of God and you've been reading, and then suddenly this verse, it just comes out of the page, as it were. And you know the Lord is thinking of you. And you've been helped to think of what the Lord has been saying to you. And then you've gone on, there's some instruction concerning duty. And you've been refocused and you've been strengthened to perform the duty. Oh, consider the good that comes out of affliction through the word. Listen to Spurgeon commenting on this verse. For I do not forget thy law in affliction. God's commands are best read by eyes wet with tears. God's commands are best read by eyes wet with tears. I have to say, to my shame, sometimes I read, and I read quickly, and go on my way. Not always, but sometimes. But then there are times in affliction, and you're caused, like me, to sit down, and you're grieving, you're sorrowing, and oh, you read, and oh, you grasp what the Lord is saying. Consider what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. He was weighed down in affliction, yet God used the word. It was his comfort, and he was helped, and he was profited. This is my comfort in my affliction. Let the word be read, let the word be preached, and let it come home to my heart to be a great blessing to me in affliction. Let it come in, Lord, speedily, like a kingfisher darting across the waters to get to the nest to feed the young. Let the word come quickly to me and feed my soul in the waters of adversity. Remember those words in Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 2. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. The preaching of the word brought home to the heart in the preaching. To the heart. And how the Lord has used his word. And it's been applied through the Holy Spirit. And it's come home to the heart in affliction. And we profited. We've been blessed. What's our prayer? Oh, let the word come to me in my trial. Do me good in affliction through thy word. Let the Holy Spirit come so near and blow across the garden of my soul and apply the word that I might be a little strengthened as I carry on through the waters of affliction. Consider mine affliction. My affliction. What I'm facing now. Well, let's consider secondly now the petition. Consider my affliction and deliver me. For I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Well, here's the petition. And it's divided into four parts. First of all, consider. Secondly, plead. Thirdly, quicken. Fourthly, deliver. And for the remainder of the time, just like us briefly to consider these four parts of the petition. First of all, consider. Consider mine affliction. To see, to regard, to have respect. Now God sees all things and knows all men. He sees what all are going through at this present time. However, here the psalmist is so praying that God in a so special way, in a gracious way, in a loving way, in a compassionate way, would look on him in this affliction. Consider what I'm going with such eyes of tender mercy. Have pity, Lord. Consider mine affliction. Remember, O Lord, me at this present time. Psalm 25, verse 6. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember. Remember thy tender mercies as thou dost look on me. In Exodus 2, verse 25, the same word is used as we have here in verse 153. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. He looked, and he looked in such a gracious way that through grace he had respect upon him. Consider mine affliction. Look on me. Look on me now. Consider what I'm going through. Take comfort. God is considering. The great God of heaven, he who inhabits eternity at this very moment, he who knows the hearts of all men, he who knows the past and the future, all events, so great is his knowledge. He's thinking of you. Yes, you. In your very affliction, in that trouble you're facing, in the struggle, whatever it is, the God of heaven is looking at you now, and he's considering with such grace and favor. Consider mine affliction. The response comes, yes, I see, I know. But just before we move to consider the second part of the petition, consider this, the believer is following Christ. And as they follow Christ, they are bearing a cross. They're suffering for the sake of Christ. Well, here's the psalmist. He's looking to the Lord as he bears a cross. Consider mine affliction. Make it your prayer, your petition. Lord, I'm following thee. I'm bearing a cross for thy sake. Turn and look on me. And he will. He knows. He knows what you're suffering. You see, you're in union with him. And you do not go alone. At times we may feel on our own, as we sang in Psalm 142. But the Lord's with us. We're following Christ. We see him out front. And we see him looking on us as well. Consider mine affliction. Our Redeemer is looking. The blessed Saviour, with such eyes of compassion, looks on you now. With such a tender heart, the heart of a shepherd, looks on you now. Make your plea to the shepherd. Consider my affliction. The second part is plead. Verse 145. Plead my cause. Literally, to defend. Defend my cause. Plead my cause. Vindicate me. That's what we pray for, isn't it? We're oppressed, we're falsely accused. Plead my cause, Lord, and the Lord will plead. He will defend. We have this in Isaiah chapter 3 in verse 12 and 13. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead, and standeth to judge the people. The Lord! And we see that the Lord, he's pleading, he's defending his people against the oppressor. The oppressors are there. The Lord stands up. Oh, what a thought that is, when you're oppressed by men, when the church is attacked. The Lord stands, none other but the Lord stands, to plead our cause he will defend. The Lord is our defence, as we see in Psalm 89. He stands to plead. He will vindicate, he will judge, he will in justice come and deal. So we think of the Lord standing to plead, acting in justice. We make our prayer, plead my cause. That's the first thing there. But then secondly, consider the advocate who pleads in heaven. We think of our triune God standing up to plead, to defend us, and he will deal with men. But then consider the advocate in heaven, God the Son, who pleads our cause to the Father. Two things here. What the Lord does in view of men who oppress us, he will defend us, he will stand for us, he will vindicate our cause. But then we consider the advocate in heaven, plead my cause and deliver me. And along with some others, here is a prayer I believe to Jesus, our advocate, plead my cause. We have an advocate in heaven who pleads for us in heaven. You think of an advocate, young people, one who pleads the cause of others at the bar of the judge. What do we read in 1 John 2 verse 1? My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have an advocate with the Father. We know it, one there now, and we can look to him. in the trials and the afflictions we face, and we can make this petition, plead my cause, plead my cause. Remember, you have an advocate in heaven. You have a sympathizing high priest who makes intercession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4 verse 15. We have one in heaven who is touched. He looks on the afflictions we face and he's touched. We respond to him knowing he has such a heart for us. Plead my cause. Oh, consider the tenderness of Jesus. Is that not an encouragement to make this petition, plead my cause? In 1819, Spurgeon preached a sermon titled The Tenderness of Jesus. He said, 1819, this morning, being myself more than usually compassed with infirmities, I desire to speak as a weak and suffering preacher of that great high priest who is full of compassion. And my longing is that any who are low in spirit, faint, despondent, and even out of the way, may take heart to approach the Lord Jesus. Jesus is touched, not with a feeling of your strength, but of your infirmity. Down here, poor, feeble nothings affect the heart of the great high priest on high, who is crowned with glory and honour. As the mother fills with the weakness of her babe, so does Jesus fill with the poorest, saddest, weakest of his chosen. Consider the psalmist. He was in affliction. He knew weakness, heaviness. He looks to the Lord. We know weakness. We know heaviness. And the Lord is touched, not by any strength we may think we have of ourselves, but by our weakness, by our infirmities. He is touched. Oh, what a sympathizing high priest we have, a glorious advocate in heaven, and he's in heaven at this very moment. He's appearing for us. We read in Hebrews 7, verse 25, he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He ever liveth. He's alive in the glory. And he's thinking of you now. And he'll think of you throughout the whole night and the morrow. And all the days of your life, through every valley and every storm, through every water of adversity, through every deep time of depression or anxiety, he's thinking. Oh, consider he is making intercession now. You turn to him, plead my cause. That's what the psalmist did in Psalm 20, verse 9. Let the king hear us when we call. The king who is the prophet and the priest, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Plead my cause. Oh, when you're struggling, turn unto Jesus. Look to him. Follow the example here. Plead my cause, O Lord. Thirdly, quicken. Verse 154, plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Revive me. He was worn down and weary. He was perplexed. Quicken me. Yes, he was focusing on the Lord that deliverance would come, but in the meantime, quicken. Deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. I look to thee, I believe the promises that thou wilt deliver, but come and quicken me. Supporting grace is what the psalmist wanted, and strengthening grace, that which is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. How we need it. The psalmist knew it. How we need it when we struggle on. We need fresh supplies, don't we? Yes, his arms of grace and mercy are all around us, but we need fresh supplies, don't we, as well? Over the last few months, I have been clearing many leaves from a number of gardens. Well, there's one particular garden in St. Ives, Ringwood. And when I start clearing the leaves, the lady comes out, would you like a cup of coffee? I always say yes. He brings me out a coffee on a tray, and there are some health bars as well for me to eat. An hour later, out she comes, would you like another coffee? So I say yes. And this time a tray comes out with a coffee and two sandwiches, cheese and pickle sandwiches. If the job takes a little longer, an hour later she comes out again with some more biscuits. Fresh supplies, come. Oh, we need fresh supplies. We become weary as we battle on. How we need more grace. Thomas Manton commenting on this verse. We need continual influence from God and lively encouragement, especially in our troubles. And we do, don't we? We need that continual influence. How thankful we are that we are united to Christ. He is divine and we are the branches and the grace flows and we need it. And we need those lively encouragements. Those encouragements that lift the soul, the promises. O Lord, until thou dost deliver, quicken me. More grace, revive my soul. We need it, just a little reviving. It helps, doesn't it? It helps us going forward. Refocus, looking to the Lord. We get weary again. Lord, come again. And he will. In closing, fourthly, deliver. We have it in verse 153 and verse 154. Deliver me. Bring me to the end of mine affliction. Cause me to pass through the waters to the very end. Cause me to come through the fires. Cause me to get to the end of the valleys. Deliver. He will. Just think of your present struggle or struggles at this moment. He knows. He's making intercession that you'll be kept in your struggles. You'll be preserved. He knows. And you're going to be brought through. That thing that is worrying you won't worry you forever. That thing that is bringing you low won't bring you low forever. That pain in your heart will one day go. That sorrow that you know will one day vanish away. For they will be the former things. And he is able to bring you through. Proverbs 23 verse 11. For their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. Now you notice those words there. With thee. That is the oppressor. And what we read there, that the mighty Redeemer will plead, he will stand, and he will defend thee against those that are against you. He will, because the Redeemer is mighty. Isaiah 9 verse 6, he's referred to as the mighty God. Your Redeemer is mighty. He will plead our cause with those that oppress us. In closing, let your eye of faith go to heaven and see there one at this moment who's making intercession for you. What a comfort in your trial. Jesus is thinking of you now. And he will always think of you in your trials. And then in heaven and in eternity, he will continue to always think of you that you might be more happy past all your trials. Plead my cause, blessed Redeemer, Advocate. Deliver me till then. Quicken me, O Lord. A little reviving again tonight and tomorrow. Help me on the journey until I see thee. Amen.